It's the Paul Harris Show on the Big 550 KTRS. You may have missed the story, as I did a couple of months ago, when the St. Louis Board of Aldermen unanimously passed a resolution to get the city off of coal and onto renewable energies like wind and solar. I only read about the story because of our next guest, Cassandra Sweet, who's a senior writer at Green Biz, a website that my friend Joel McCower runs, and he's the one who tipped me off to Cassandra's piece. She reports on renewable energy and corporate sustainability on all sorts of things at greenbiz.com and joins me now. Hi, Cassandra. How are you?
Hi, Paul. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
It's my pleasure. So when we say we're taking a right turn away from coal, are you surprised considering that this is the home of Arch Coal and Peabody Energy?
Well, in one sense, I was surprised because, as you say, St. Louis is the home of Arch Coal and Peabody Energy, and it's part of the coal region, one of the coal regions of the United States. But on the other hand, I wasn't that surprised because a lot of other cities are doing this.
Are they doing it because it's going to save them money or because they're doing it because of climate change? What reasons do they give?
They're doing it for both. They're doing it to be, cleaner and greener, to stop emissions of carbon dioxide and other pollutants, but also solar and wind power are cheaper now than they ever have been, and oftentimes they're cheaper than coal-fired power.
Really?
Yes.
So that's a statement we could not have made like 5 or 10 years ago, right?
This is true. The rest of the world is embracing wind and solar power and other renewables and, really big countries with big economies such as China and India and European countries. And so as their manufacturing of solar panels and wind turbines has scaled up, those prices have come way down.
And are we manufacturing those things here in this country or do we have to import them from China?
We import a lot of solar panels from China. However, we do make a lot of wind turbines. General Electric is a U.S. company that makes wind turbines, and Vestas, which is actually a foreign company, they actually make wind turbines in the United States.
Okay, so in order to do this, the places that I have seen going more towards solar and wind have really made a big effort about it, and they have huge tracts of land with large solar panel displays. But what do you do in a city like St. Louis where there isn't that much open land, unless we're going to put solar panels on the arch grounds?
Well, in St. Louis, people could put solar panels on the roof of their home,
yeah,
especially if there's some type of incentive. But, I'm from Missouri. I grew up in St. Louis. And there's plenty of open land, especially in the northern and western parts of the state, that actually have really great wind resources. And so Missouri has a lot of potential, I think. all you have to do is Google wind resource map, and you'll see maps published by the National Renewable Energy Lab. And if you look on those maps, you'll see Missouri has like a purplish color, almost reddish, which means that there's a lot of wind in the part of Missouri that's closer to Oklahoma and Texas. Texas has the sixth largest wind market in the world.
Wow.
Not just the United States, the world. It's so windy in Texas. And they've installed a lot of wind farms there, and they're enjoying, very cheap electricity.
That's interesting because it is an oil-rich state that most of the people who had got wealthy as Texans got there from either being landowners and or oil rigs, right?
That's right. They are really like they have every form of energy in Texas. They've got lots of oil and natural gas and wind and solar. They're installing a lot of solar panels now because they have a lot of sunshine there, too.
What's the business part of this?
The business part is both jobs and investment. So, this is a switch to 21st century technology away from 20th century technology, and that means that people, workers are needed, and construction, engineering, sales, all those things.
Yeah.
And so I think this is one reason that there's bipartisan support for development of renewable energy across the United States.
Yeah, but there's also a big push by the president for coal.
This is true, you know, and that's being driven by some companies that have some old coal-fired power plants, and those are uneconomic. They can't compete with more efficient natural gas-fired power plants mm-hmm. and solar and wind farms, and they are looking for a handout. They're looking for subsidies to keep those plants running.
What I find interesting about stories like this, I mentioned Joel McCower, who runs Green Biz, where you write. He and I have known each other for a long time, and I remember something like 20, 25 years ago, he was telling me that here in St. Louis, a company like Anheuser-Busch can impact the world aluminum market simply by making the top of their can slightly smaller, not putting less beer in there. It's still a 12-ounce can, but by making the top of the can just a little bit smaller because of the number of cans and bottles that they make out of aluminum or purchase from other people who make them for them, they impact global aluminum sales. I wonder if Anheuser-Busch, InBev, and other companies in this region are also starting to lead the way on this push for renewable energies.
They are. Indeed, Anheuser-Busch, InBev has recently said that they are committed to achieving 100% clean energy, as has Nestle Purina. And, you know, mainly, usually what that means at this point in time is that a big company is going to figure out how much energy they use, how much electricity they use, and then they're going to buy enough renewable energy to match that amount.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, you know, that's where we are right now. In the future, these companies, and I hope it's true for Anheuser-Busch, they're looking to buy renewable energy that they can use, you know, locally, immediately for their operations.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of potential for this and other states.
Sometimes it takes big companies to have new policies to change things. I mean, even on the social front, the Fortune 500 companies, the vast majority of them were much more accepting of gay employees and gay unions and even gay marriage long before the public and the courts were there, because they knew, look, we have good people who work for us and we want to have good policies for them. Are these companies doing those things for the environment because they see it's the right thing to do? Or, like AB did with the aluminum, if we use less, we save a ton of money?
You know, Paul, it's both of those things. I think, you know, on the social front, I agree with you. I think a lot of these kind of more humanitarian policies in the workplace are also geared toward attracting the best, most talented people.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to renewable energy, a lot of it is, it's really cheap power. I mean, and it's popular. You know, people like it. People want to know that they're, you know, the companies that are providing them with beer and other products are being good corporate citizens. And every time a huge company like Anheuser-Busch signs a contract to buy renewable energy, that sends a signal to the market. That's more demand. And so that really helps kind of increase the solar and wind markets in the United States.
Yeah, I mean, even companies like Walmart are doing this. Again, a lot of it has to do with their bottom line, but, you know, just painting their roofs white instead of black saves them, I don't know, a huge number of dollars every year, doesn't it?
That's right. The other thing for Walmart and other companies like that is they're trying to reduce their usage of petroleum fuels like diesel for, you know, to save money and also to be more energy independent. So they are testing out electric trucks now, for example, which will be cleaner, but they'll also save money.
Yep. Yeah, I saw just last week that Pepsi put in a big order for 100 of these new electric semis from Tesla.
That's right.
More companies are leaning that way, which leads me to another thing I wanted to ask you about, which isn't specifically St. Louis-oriented, but perhaps on a national scale. When are we going to have some sort of electric vehicle charging infrastructure in this company? Because I think having that would boost the number of people who wanted to have electric cars.
That's true, Paul. I think, you know, we do have electric charging infrastructure. I mean, we've got outlets in our homes.
Right. You know,
wherever there's an electricity outlet, you could conceivably plug in an automobile. But you do have a good point with the, you know, fast charging That is taking off in some cities that have a lot of adoption of electric vehicles, such as I live in San Francisco. A lot of tech money here. People who can afford to buy those Tesla Model S's.
Yep.
But there are other vehicles. It's kind of started out slowly, but as China and other countries really push for electric vehicles, you're seeing more models coming out on the market, and so there's more to choose from.
Yep.
You know, so this year you have the Chevy Bolt, which is all electric vehicle, but there are a lot more in the pipeline, and I think the charging will come. The electric utilities are really excited about this.
Yeah, but the one thing you need, I mean, when we talk about infrastructure is, yes, you need to be able to charge it when you come home and park it in front of your house or in your garage, but you also need to be able to charge it when you go to Busch Stadium to see a Cardinals game and you park in Stadium East. There needs to be an outlet there at every space so that you can plug in your Nissan Leaf or your Chevy Bolt or maybe your Tesla or whatever it is. And more of these companies are going to be coming out with more and more of these cars. But it's kind of a catch-22, isn't it?
You know, that's changing as well because I think what you're referring to is called range anxiety. And that's when you're afraid that you might run out of a charge.
Yep.
With your battery in your vehicle, the battery being the most valuable part of the vehicle as well, the most expensive. The price for batteries and packing the most amount of energy that you could put into them, those prices are coming down as, you know, as people like Elon Musk's Tesla is built a big battery factory in Nevada. There's just more development of batteries.
Yep.
And so you're going to have more cars available that can go a much longer distance. So you won't need to worry too much about recharging everywhere you go.
Yeah. Of course, we live in a society where if our phone drops below 92%, I got to get to a plug. I got to plug this thing in. Yeah, really? You're only walking from your room to the bathroom. Calm down. Your phone's not going to go. But range anxiety is such a great phrase, Cassandra, because, you know, you may only drive 25 miles to get to Busch Stadium, but you're not sure you're going to get home. Your battery holds enough charge to go 200 miles, doesn't it? Or more.
That's right. The new Chevy Bolt, my mother bought one.
Yeah.
I'm really thinking about getting one myself. Let's see. You know, putting myself on the spot here, I want to say it holds 200 miles. I could be totally wrong about that. But it's a huge difference compared to, say, the Nissan Leaf, which holds less than 100 miles. And Tesla's going to come out with its Model 3, which will be, I think, 260 miles or so. And you're just going to see more range come with these cars.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a car that can go 300 miles on a charge, you're really not going to worry that much.
Right.
About, you know, getting to the ball game and home.
Yeah, you know, that's about the same amount as you would go on a full tank in many cars. You know, if you put gas in there every 300, 350 miles, you know, if you wanted to drive from St. Louis to Chicago, okay, you're going to use up a tank of gas. All right, so if you go up there to go with your electric car, you just get all the way there and then you plug it in and you're good. That's what we need to get to. And I just read moments ago that Volkswagen, as part of the settlement over their diesel emissions problem that they had a couple of years ago, they are announcing a build-out of their own electric vehicle charging stations across the country. Of course, you know what the problem is going to be, Cassandra. It's going to be like having an iPhone and everybody around you only has the Android adapter.
That's right, Paul. These chargers need to all be kind of open source so that anybody with any vehicle can use them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it'll take more time.
Excuse me, do you have an adapter for a Tesla? No, man, I only have one for a Nissan. I'm sorry.
That's right. It's one thing with your cell phone, but it's another thing when you have, you know, like a $30,000 vehicle.
Absolutely right. So St. Louis is moving in this direction, even over the objections of Peabody and Arch. What about Ameren? You know, they're the big electric utility here in the Bi-State area. Are they on board with going solar and wind?
They are. I talked to Ameren, and they have a new program now where customers can opt in to buy more renewable energy through Ameren. They have signed some wind power deals to buy more wind. They have an emission reduction goal. I mean, they are really they're turning toward renewables. They're not alone. This has been going on in the United States for the last decade.
Mm-hmm.
Started on the coast, probably East Coast and the West Coast, where power prices are a lot higher.
Yeah.
And public policy has pushed in the direction of renewable energy, but especially as Texas has really just exploded as a wind and solar market. even with all the coal and petroleum products that they have down there, other states have really embraced it. So it's really mainstream now.
What's the
and Ameren is part of it.
I'm glad to hear that. What's the target date for St. Louis getting to 100% clean energy?
It's 2035.
That seems way off in the future.
It does, doesn't it? But it's almost 2018.
Yeah, we just knocked 1 year off of the goal. Okay.
That's right.
All right. Cassandra Sweet is a senior writer at Green Biz, a website that reports on renewable energy and corporate sustainability. And thank you so much for joining me here today and talking about this. It's good news for our area.
Thank you, Paul.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.